You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello, welcome to the Racing Podcast for Wednesday. My name is Jack and joining me on this edition is Rory Delahi. Rory, how are you?
I am very well, thanks Jack.
And we are going to have a look at some races from Chepstow and from Kempton as well. Hexham has a waterlogged track and won't be going ahead on Wednesday. But first of all, it was all about Brian Hughes yesterday at Musselburgh. 899-1, five-timer he rode. Very impressive.
Yeah, and second on his other two rides as well. So seven rides, five wins and 2 seconds. And he is very much shipping into the leading jockey in the north. That was a meeting that was fairly hastily arranged with an abandonment because of hard ground at Leicester. And the racing wasn't hugely competitive. But in saying that, it gave Brian Hughes the perfect opportunity to showcase his talent. He's a very stylish jockey. He's a good judge of pace. And it gave him... It gave him a great opportunity to show exactly how good he is.
Yeah,
on his day.
If you see one of your, if you see a horse that you fancy for a decent trainer, and you see Brian Hughes on it, and it's in the north, you tend to sort of nod with approval, don't you, and think, yeah, it's got a good chance.
He's a very significant jockey booking in races like that, and he's been riding extremely well over the last. It wasn't just a one-off. This he's been riding multiple winners on a number of occasions this season already.
Yeah, very consistent. Elsewhere in the news, Irish Cavalier makes the front page. Rule him out at your peril, they say, for the this weekend's big race. Already beaten Kew Card and goes up against him again. Around about 11-1 this morning. What do you make of his chances?
I don't think he's got a tremendous... It's not the deepest race, the Betfair Chase. And you can argue that we don't know whether Coenigree's really recovered from his injury. And the questions there, and Kew Card was obviously beaten in his reappearance. Is he quite as good as he was? But I don't think taking quotes from jockeys about betting markets is the wisest thing to do on the front page of the daily paper. Jonathan Moore gave Irish Cavalier a terrific ride to win at Weatherby, but it ended up being a race that fell apart. They went too fast in front, and it was a well-judged ride to win. Irish Cavalier will find it a lot more difficult at Haydock, and while he's liable to run his race, I think he's the right price, or maybe a point or two too short, if anything.
You'd rather hear it from Rebecca Curtis, I suppose, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, if anyone's going to make, but again, if people are going to make comments about the betting's wrong, they should be betting people, really.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen a horse run and a trainer says, you know, this horse is ready to run for its life, that's great, you know.
Yeah.
But when you've seen that horse in action and you've priced it up according to what you've seen, and then you're told that your betting's wrong, then I think you can take it with a pinch of salt. I'm not suggesting that there might not be a scenario where he could get it together, but obviously deeper ground would be a worry for him. I think he's looked at his best at a very sharp 3 miles before, and again, it wasn't stamina that won him the day at Weatherby. It was picking others off when they began to weaken, and if it turns out very soft at Haydock, that's also another negative for him. So he's got claims, but he isn't as underrated as the headline would suggest.
No, I haven't seen the weather forecast actually for the northwest, so I don't know if we're expecting rain, but we'll wait and see on that one. And Coenigree, as you mentioned there, we're hoping he's back to his best. Richard Johnson is keen to ride him. He's been out schooling him. I think it was yesterday, wasn't it, at the time of recording?
Yeah, he's been apparently doing very well at home. All the vibes from Letcombe Bassett, from the Bradstock Shard, have been very, very positive about him. I don't think his injury was that severe last season. He's always the type who's capable of picking up knocks because of his enthusiasm at home and because of his unusual physique as well. And Sarah Bradstock's gone on record as saying that. But he seems to have excited those who've ridden him schooling of late. And, you know, touch wood, I very much hope he's back to his best. It'd be good to see him and Kew Card are running to their best level of ability in the last couple of seasons. It could be a great race. I think Coenigree, given the nature of the race, will take plenty of beating. And it'd be great to see him on target for that £1 million bonus. Of course, they missed out on a bonus in his novice season when he won the Gold Cup because he was withdrawn at the start at Plumpton on veterinary advice, which did not go down at all well with connections. So it'd be nice if he managed to get this bonus instead.
It would indeed. So it's shaping up to be a very exciting race this weekend. Stay tuned to Racing Radio for all the build-up as we get closer to it. But we're going to look at some races from Wednesday. Evening card from Kempton. We're going to have a look at the 7:10 from there. But we're going to start with Chepstow. And the 225 is the first race we're going to look at. And Rory, I've given you a bit of an assignment here with 17 runners in this field.
It's a cracking day's racing at Chepstow. I know it's sort of low-key midweek stuff, but big, big fields, really competitive racing. And I have to say, I find it very tough to find an angle in the first place. I suppose the key feature of this 225, the three-mile handicap chase, is that it's got a lot of front runners in it for a staying chase. 8 of these in a field of 17 have made the running on one of their last two starts, and quite a lot of them would be regular front runners. If you take the view that that sets it up for a horse who will sit in behind, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes when there's so many obvious front runners, you suddenly get a race that's run at a slower pace than you imagined, and they seem to take it in turns. But if it is run at a solid pace and there's a disputed lead, then I think that could play into the hands of Court Frontier for Paul Morgan and Paul Maloney. He was a decent point-to-pointer slash hunter chaser in his younger days in Ireland. Court Frontier is only 8 still. He lost his way a little bit earlier this year, but on his third start for Paul Morgan, he came back to something like his best when second at Foss Last behind Forever My Friend, doing very good late work that day, held up off the pace, gradually crept closer, finished with a flourish over 2.5 miles, but couldn't get to the winner. Give the impression that a more strongly run race or a stiffer test would suit him, and he gets both of those tomorrow up to nearly 3 miles and with plenty of pace on. And Court Frontier looks very well handicapped on the pick of his form off a mark of 110. His form as a novice in Ireland stacks up really well. Horses that he was beating are now rated higher than him, considerably higher than him at this stage. And if you take the view that he's just refined his form, then he looks very well handicapped and has a very good setup. And Paul Maloney is your ideal jockey to creep around midfield towards the back here and pick horses off on the straight. So he looks a really solid each-way bet.
And, yeah, as you say, he's going to go off at a pretty decent price, isn't he, in a field of 17, you would imagine.
Well, it looks like an 8-1 field race from what I can. Mm-hmm. It's very difficult to find a favourite there. There's 5 or 6 horses who could start favourite on the basis of recent form or track form, for example, or how well handicapped they are. And it's not an easy one. I wouldn't want to be an odds compiler pricing this up at 5 o'clock, for example.
No. That's the 225, then, Court Frontier, the selection for Rory and that one. The next race we're going to look at is the 335 at Chepstow. This is a handicap chase, and we had 17 last time, slightly smaller field with 9 here, but I don't think this will be short on competitive spirit, will it?
No, it looks a tough one. There are a few of these with a bit of back class, 1 or 2 in form. You've got an interesting stable switch there. Philip Hobbs with one having its debut for him. But the one I'm going to go for, slightly unusual, there's no jockey declared for Laser Hawk, trained by Evan Williams. You'd expect Paul Maloney would ride. He normally does, and Paul's at the meeting. So we'll see who ends up taking the ride on Laser Hawk. But he's the best of these. He is top weight, but he has got outstanding pieces of form. His form is very mixed in that he started off last season with a very, very good third at Newbury, and things then went pear-shaped afterwards, pulled up in 3 of his next 4 starts, but clearly goes well fresh. The race that he ran in at Newbury, where he shaped very well in third, could not have worked out better. The winner was Arzal, who went on to win a Grade 1 at Aintree. Asso was second, who was placed in the big race at Cheltenham on Saturday. And there were winners in behind. Balgari won next time out. Johnny Oak has won since. Phil Shift, who was tailed off, was a winner in his next start at Kempton. It's tremendously strong form. Laser Hawk was rated 133 for that. And as I said, shipped very well. Travelled best of all that day. And yet here he is, rated 118. So £15 lower in the weights. You either take the view that for whatever reason he's gone. He's obviously got physical issues, but I think the chances are the time to catch him is fresh. And up against inferior horses here, I think he's worth a bet.
Yeah, 211 days since he was last seen. So hopefully it goes well fresh for Evan Williams. And then the final race at Chepstow. We're going to look at this one. It's the 405. There's plenty, again, in this one. over the, it's a handicap hurdle. Where do we start?
Yeah, very similar comments apply to this as to the first at Chepstow. Lots of horses you can give a chance to. You've got the winner 2 years ago running here, Capricorn, who's slightly out of the weights, but that's well handicapped on the pick of its form. And Sophie Leach has had one or two well-backed winners off late, so he's of some interest. But again, there's very few you could absolutely rule out of the contest. But the two who appeal to me, Court King should run well, but I've just come down in favour of the improving Bramble Brook for Colin Tizard and Tom Scudamore. Obviously, Colin had a terrific weekend at Cheltenham. His team have been in very good form, really, since this time last year. And there's no sign of that slowing down. They're obviously getting an influx of new horses. He won, obviously, the Schlur Chase with Fox Norton, who's new to the yard. And Bramble Brook is a very well-bred Cave Tara gelding out of the Anshan mare Briary Anne. He's the type to need time to come into his own, and he didn't show an awful lot in his early runs in bumpers or indeed in his first couple of forays over hurdles, but he's been gradually getting his act together since. Fourth of 12 on his hurdles debut at Newton Abbott, albeit well enough beaten, and stepped up on that when a good second to a well-handicapped one at Carlisle last time out, second to Western Wave, having travelled very strongly. That pair came clear in what looked a reasonably competitive handicap hurdle. He's up £6 for that, but he does seem to be going the right way now, and there should be more to come from him. So Bramble Brook looks the least exposed in this race. It's a competitive one, but he is one of the few who's got the possibility of improvement in form terms, so he gets the vote.
Okay, Bramble Brook then for the Tizard Yard in the 4:05 at Chepstow. Right, we're moving on to the all-weather. The evening card comes from Kempton. It starts at 4:10 and finishes at 7:40. The penultimate race is the 7:10. 12 go here, and it's over the 2 miles. What do we reckon to this one?
It's a cracking race, in that we could easily have seen the front two in the market in the November handicap. Wrangler was taken out, wasn't he, on the day. He'd shaped very, very well when third at Doncaster in October. He's the type to do better still. Note of making very good late headway that day. Higher Power was second to Cape Cova, who was one of the favourites for the November handicap. Again, at that track last time out. That was over an extended mile and sixth of the St Ledger course in distance, and Higher Power shaped very, very well in finishing second to Cape Cova, who I thought did tremendously well in the November handicap, given how it was run. That looks very, very good form to me. And while Wrangler's interesting, I thought Higher Power has got a lot going for him. He will stay 2 miles. He's trained by James Fantrow, who's in very good form, and just does tremendously well with his horses at Kempton particularly. So he looks sure to run his race. It's not a gimme, because this is very competitive, but his main danger looks to be Wrangler, but Higher Power, very consistent and already proven at Kempton, seems to have slightly more ticks and boxes than the likely second favourite.
Okay, Higher Power, the selection then in the 7:10 at Kempton. They're all of our races we're going to look at today. Don't forget you can follow Warwick, Chepstow and Kempton and Fairy House on Racing Radio throughout Wednesday afternoon and evening. Rory, thank you very much for your selections.
Thank you.
And good luck with all of your bets. The Racing Podcast will be back tomorrow.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.